Okay, we are live. Welcome, everybody.
Welcome.
It is Sunday, December 2nd, 2018. We're in our series. We're not in any series. This is a communion message. Well, we're in the communion message series, I guess. And the title of this message is Christ the King. Okay. This is a live recording. And so we say hello to all the people in a lot of nations. And let's pray. Father God, we come before you and we just thank you, Lord, for the outreach of this ministry. We thank you, Lord, for all the people working in media ministry here, getting these messages out. And we thank you, God, especially for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. And so now, God, we come before you and we ask that your Holy Spirit be in our midst as the Spirit of truth, as the promise of the Father, Lord God, as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. And we ask today that your Holy Spirit would open our minds to comprehend and open our hearts to receive your word. For this we give you the praise and we give you the glory. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Why remember the Lord Jesus Christ until he comes? This is a communion message, and part of what we know about communion is we are to remember the Lord's death until he comes. Okay, but why? Let's read Luke 1, verses 32 and 33.
He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.
Okay, now Gabriel had already visited Zacharias to announce the birth of John the Baptist. Now he would tell Mary not only that she was highly favored, that the Lord was with her, and that she was blessed among women, but also that she would conceive and bring forth a son to be called Jesus. This child would be the Son of God, born of the Holy Spirit. He is called a child of the Holy Spirit. Amazingly, Mary responded with, quote, "Be it unto me according to your word," unquote. Then Gabriel appeared to Joseph, to whom Mary was espoused, to tell him, meaning that they were, they weren't married yet,
betrothed.
Right.
More than engagement.
More than an engagement.
In the Hebrew culture, that's married, but not
But
consummated.
Not finally married, yet.
No, there's no physical contact, no consummation yet. Otherwise, they're married.
Okay. To tell him not to fear to take unto him Mary his wife, quote, "For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." Joseph had it confirmed by Gabriel that this child was to be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He shall save his people from their sins. Jesus Christ was born King, King of kings and Lord of lords, with a sovereign right to rule, the final court of appeal, and as the one who holds the power of life and death. Jesus surpasses earthly rulers in his character, dominion, authority, power, and kingdom. Jesus has a royal lineage, a royal heritage. He is of the dynasty of David and a son of Abraham. We won't read it all, but it's from Matthew 1, verses 1 to 17. He met both the racial and royal requirements to be Messiah and King. He fulfills the promise to David in the Davidic covenant of 2 Samuel chapter 7. Now we have to remember that the Davidic covenant was to David and his dynasty, a family line, not everybody. It doesn't go out until, if you want to turn to Isaiah 55 and just read some verses there till you get to where, let's see, it's going to end at, I don't know how many verses, 7 verses or 8.
Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the water. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without pride. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. The sure mercies of David. In Isaiah 55, it's sent out beyond just the line of David, David's personal family, the dynasty of David. Very important. Joseph carried the legal line. Joseph carried the legal line through Solomon's son Rehoboam. Mary carried the royal line from David through Nathan. In a sheer stroke of brilliance, Christ, being born of a virgin, circumvented the curse of Jeconiah. And this message is not on that, but it's very interesting what all God did to stay within justice and then circumvent the curse of Jeconiah. Let's read Jeremiah 22, verse 30.
Thus says the Lord, write this man's name down as childless, a man who shall not prosper in his days, for none of his descendants shall prosper, sitting on the throne of David, and ruling any more in Judah.
All right. So, that was one little attempt of the devil, and God had to work many miracles along the line to circumvent that curse legally. But that curse declared that there could never be a child of Jeconiah on the throne of David. However, the way God worked it out, and it required a virgin birth, Jesus had the legal and the real right to be King and Messiah. It's a very interesting study. All right, Jesus has a royal character. A king rules unilaterally and absolutely as a single sole authority. He is a supreme ruler with power to say what lives or what dies. Jesus is the judge of what is living and what is dead. He can rule according to wisdom or whim, in justice or tyranny, according to mercy and grace or according to violence. Earthly kings come to power by lot. There's one way they come to power. That means, you know, the lot is like, what, throwing the dice, so to speak.
Yeah.
They just, somehow they get in there. By usurping the throne, by dynasty, or by appointment, or by election. Earthly kings exercise arbitrary power. Jesus Christ received his authority and power from his Father, God. Jesus was anointed king and received his kingdom from his Father. All right, let's read some of these verses. Daniel 7, verse 13.
I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him.
Oh, that was 13 and 14, right?
Oh, then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed.
Okay. Matthew 11, verse 27.
All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him.
All right. John 3, verse 35.
Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about, 35. I read the wrong one. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands.
All right. And another passage, it's all of 1 Corinthians 15, but that's a very long chapter, so I'll just mention the reference, 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus Christ is a righteous king. A righteous king rules according to God's wisdom, justice, standard, mercy, and grace. Psalm 72 is a very important psalm, but it's also pretty lengthy. But just read maybe what is like a first paragraph of Psalm 72.
Give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. He will judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. The mountains will bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. He will bring justice to the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy and will break in pieces the oppressor.
And let's read Proverbs 16, verses 12 to 15.
It is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness, for a throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right. As messengers of death is the king's wrath, but a wise man will appease it. In the light of the king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud of the latter rain.
Okay, Psalm 72 is a psalm that can be, and I recommend praying for your civil leadership, whatever your government is, whatever nation you're in. Psalm 72, along with others, but Psalm 72. Okay, Jesus Christ came, the incarnate word, full of grace and truth. In him is life. He is preeminent, and that's from John chapter 1. Jesus' birth was unique. He was born of a virgin according to prophetic word. According to the law, Joseph should have ended the relationship with Mary when he found out she was pregnant. But God intervened in a dream with that message from Gabriel. That's from Matthew 1, verse 20 and following. Between the experience and potential belief, God intervened with the truth about the experience so that Joseph and Mary would have the right expectations and subsequent behavior. The birth of Jesus was a royal birth, as Jesus is the unique Son of God, child of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to say this, and Jesus Christ is God the Son. Son of God, God the Son. Okay. Jesus, however, wasn't born in a palace, but in some sort of stable with animals and a manger. Now, in, when you go to Bethlehem, outside of Bethlehem, there's two spots, always two places where Jesus, where the things happened, you know, whether it was the, it's the crucifixion or in Bethlehem or what, there's always two places. Two places in the world where Mary is said to be buried, and it's just very interesting. But anyway, so there's two places in Bethlehem. One is the church there, a Roman Catholic church in Bethlehem, with long lines, and to go in there, and then and that's the one that really gets attacked, the church, the Catholic church in Bethlehem. But then when you go to Bethlehem also, they have like a shepherd's, there's a hill, and you go there, and it's called the Shepherd's something.
Shepherd's Field.
And you go there, and the last trip to Israel, thank goodness we had been on previous trips to Israel, we knew better, but the last trip to Israel, they took us over, they were leading the whole group away from this Shepherd's Field, which is right there, I mean, it's not far away. And I said, no, we're not going to go over to some other church there. It was a little church or something that was there. I want to show you Shepherd's Field. And so you go there, and that's the field that they say where the angels showed up, and where the shepherds were tending to their flocks by night, and that's the Shepherd's Field. And of course, we were really the only ones there. And but along there, they have I'm going to say it's probably typical. I can't confirm that it's the actual place, but it's a cave. And many believe that the way the caves were, the animals were there too. Their animals were there. And so, but whatever it was, the cave would kind of make more sense than the, a motel or something. It you know, in that way. There was no room at the end, that might have been true. But it may not have actually been. It could easily have been a cave as well, because that's what you kind of see there.
Yeah.
And the animals would be there, and that makes sense with the story, you know. It was, but whatever it was a humble beginning for sure, a very humble beginning. It was planned because God loves animals, and he created something good. God, the creation that God created, God called it good. It was good. So to be surrounded by the creation instead of being in maybe a man-made structure or something, because the cave was like rock, as I remember it, made out of rock. You know? So in a way, it might have been fancier than a room at the inn. Really. And more suitable when we really start to think it through. You know? Anyway. They came to worship this newborn king. Not only did the shepherds appear to see Jesus of whom the angel spoke, but also the Magi at some point came from the east. These wise men were, quote, the kingmakers of the East, unquote. They were called the kingmakers of the East. If you want to look up on your own about kingmakers, there are people who rule the politics of different nations, and they are called, quote, the kingmakers.
Have you ever heard that before?
Yep.
Wow.
So you can, you know, that's something to look up. Magi appointed kings and judges and dominated Gentile culture in terms of authority.
That was in Persia.
Mm-hmm. This royal king had his own star. These Magi were on a search. They They were astronomers and most likely also astrologers, and they followed the stars. Okay, and they probably knew about this happening, they think, because of the book of Daniel, you know. Okay, so they were on a search that led them to Jerusalem and before Herod the king. They said, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." This created quite a stir, and Herod gathered together the chief priests and scribes to demand where Christ should be born. Learning it was Bethlehem, the Magi followed the star, quote, "till it came and stood over where the young child was," unquote. And that's from Matthew chapter 2, verses 2 and 9. Now, it's interesting that the scripture says, "till it came and stood over," instead of using, like, the word "shined on."
Yeah, it wasn't natural. It
wasn't
supernatural, I believe.
So, yeah, because the Word of God says stood over.
Yep.
And Bethlehem isn't really very far from Jerusalem. It's not too far. Okay. These Gentile magi came to worship. They presented gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold symbolizes God and kingliness. Frankincense speaks of deity and the fragrance of worship. The fragrance of worship. Myrrh speaks of humanity, of death and burial, and of grace. Warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. But Herod had already caught the import and threat of the arrival of the Magi to worship the one born king. Born king. Herod ordered the slaughter of potential contenders for his crown, which was very typical in protecting the crown of these rulers. That's typical everywhere and back, way back in history. They just come in and kill the competition. Literally. I mean, they just get rid of it. Okay, so he was ordered the slaughter. "Beware the leaven of Herod," Jesus had said. "Beware the leaven of Herod, the Herodians." Jesus lived a life of destiny, framed by the prophetic word. His whole life was destined by the prophetic word, and I'm even going to say his whole life was predestined by the prophetic word. God prophesied that this king would be born of a virgin in Bethlehem and at some point be called out of Egypt as son. "Out of Egypt have I called my son." By the way, I've written messages on all these different topics over the years. So they're on there on mcmtffr.org. You can access that mcmtffr.org by going to our main website. We have five. Going to the main website, marycraig.org, and it'll have a click to go to the other website. I'm not sure whether you'd look up Christmas messages or what, but anyway, I know that as I go through this, I've written on that. I've written on that.
If you've written on it, it would be on the main site, not on.
Oh, that's true.
Not on MCMTFFR.
That's
so
right.
It'll be on the main. MaryCraig.org.
You're right. It was written messages, and they'll be at MaryCraig.org, and you'd have to do like
and
an internal search.
Every Christmas message on the News and Views page, it says Christmas 1999, Christmas 2008. I have Christmas on every one of Christmas.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That was direct from our web manager. Okay, that's wonderful. Yay. All right. In spite of a massacre, Jesus would live and be called a Nazarene. He came to fulfill all righteousness in a life of obedience to his Father. He came to die according to the eternal plan of God. He rose from the dead to sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty as ruler over the kings of the earth with all authority given unto him in heaven and on earth. All authority. Jesus the King fulfills prophecy, the royal decree of the sovereign God. Jesus rules now over a spiritual kingdom, over the hearts of those who believe in him and who believe him. Those who submit to his rule receive forgiveness for their sin, for their sins by means of the sacrifice of himself on the cross as payment of the debt note of sin. Those who submit to his lordship put their destinies into his hands. That's what Lord means. Lord, when we say Jesus is Lord, the word Lord means that whoever we say is Lord is in control of our destiny. Okay, now, sometimes I will, because I have faced witches, and some of them will even come out and say, Jesus is Lord. They will not say, Jesus is my Lord. They won't say, oh, thank you. They won't say, Jesus is my master, even though he's King of Kings.
The same goes with demons. They'll say Jesus is Lord too. It's the same thing.
Yeah, yes. We know who you are, Jesus, thou Son of God.
Yeah.
And the demons also know and tremble. You believe in God, you do well. The demons also believe, you know, and tremble. So, but they won't say Jesus is my Lord, and they won't say Jesus is my Master, and they will not say Jesus is my Savior. The first time that happened to me, it was a surprise. I mean, I don't get real excited. You know, I'm years past that. I want to see fruit. But, so I was like, whoa. Because I knew what I was facing. See? And I had somebody in the occult tell that to me. That's how I found out. They won't say that. Jesus is my Lord. Okay. But those who submit to Jesus' lordship put their destinies into his hands and will find that every knee will bow to him. They have to bow. They don't bow before me. They have to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ, and they know it. Sometimes there's a fight. But they know it. They have to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is King in every sense, in the already and not yet tension of the Word of God. As he died and rose again and ascended into heaven, he sits in majesty as the Lamb slain, the Lion of Judah, King of righteousness, Prince of peace, King of glory. And he is coming again. Which ties in with our communion, because we are to remember the Lord's death until he comes. So we are to be ready. We are to be ready. And so we remember the Lord's death until he comes again. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And he shall reign forever and ever. That's Revelation 11, verse 15. Amen. Mm-hmm.